This is the Simon Dell Show, where we take a deep dive into some of the week's most notable business and marketing stories and interview high-performing business leaders and marketing professionals to find out their lessons for success.
If you want me to swing an election, let me have a go. I'll do a Donald Trump for you.
The vast majority of them are run by old fat white men.
If your customers know who your brand is, what you stand for, and your customers love you, then they're not going to go and shop somewhere else at 10.
I just steal the kids' lollies.
It is Monday, 27th of November, and welcome to the Simon Dell Show. We are too fast approaching a fantastic Christmas, and we have just here in Queensland, Australia, wrapped up a state election. Now we're going to talk about the state election. We're going to talk a little bit about politics on in the Spin Cycle with Patrick and Eddie. We try and avoid politics here, but I think it's only fair that perhaps we have a little bit of a conversation about it, especially about the branding and the advertising throughout this state election. So if you're not in Queensland or you're not in Australia, please bear with us, because I think it's interesting. I think it's actually appropriate to all states and all countries and about how politicians communicate to us. So that's the Spin Cycle. We've got a couple of other things in the Spin Cycle as well. Our long form interview this week is a little bit different as well, because we've stepped back from talking to fantastic CEOs, and we have spoken to some fantastic CEOs in the last few weeks. But today we're going to talk to a fantastic ex-policeman. And I actually only found out our guest, Phil McGregor, was a former police officer in the interview. Shows how good my research is and shows how well I've known Phil for all these years. But Phil is an ex-police officer and is now an absolute expert on Facebook advertising. I myself would confess that I am aware of the basics, maybe a bit more of the basics for Facebook advertising. It's something that I'm capable of, but certainly not an expert on. But Phil, who runs his own business called AdChief.io, Phil is an absolute expert, and he has completely immersed himself in Facebook advertising. And if you want to use Facebook advertising to grow your business, what he has to say in his interview is absolutely vital that you listen to it, because it will give you some tips and hints for turning small amounts of money into big amounts of money. And I say that with no exaggeration, because some of the stories he'll tell you in the interview are absolutely fantastic about the results that he's got for his clients. So please stick around and listen to that, because I think you'll get a lot from it. And there's a lot of fantastic information in there. Before we jump into the Spin Cycle, I'm also just going to do the usual thank yous, especially big thanks to Gilberto, who did a fantastic job on the last episode. I mentioned it before, but our recording kept dropping out, and Gilberto managed to stitch it all together and make it sound absolutely fantastic. So thank you to Gilberto. We love sound.audio. If you want to find him, if you need any audio work done, please contact him. Also, please come and follow us on Instagram. Our Instagram is the Simon Dell Show, or Simon Dell Show. We share everything that we talk about in the shows there, so it's kind of important that you follow that. And finally, please rate and review us. Even if you don't want to write a review, which I get, that's kind of a bit time consuming, and probably you haven't got time to do that. But if you get a chance, please go onto iTunes and click the little 5-star button and tell people, at least let iTunes know that you think we are worthy of 5 stars. And if you do get a chance to review us, please, that would be fantastic as well. If you have any questions of me, or you want to make any comments, or you think you know someone, or you are someone who think would be worthy of an interview, please contact me. You can find me pretty much anywhere, simondell.com. I'm on Instagram, as we said, Twitter, LinkedIn, simon@simondell.com if you want to email me. So without further ado, let us jump straight into the Spin Cycle with Patrick and Eddie. Welcome to another edition of the Spin Cycle, and with me, I'm going to try and get this one right, is the Steve Smith of co-hosts, Dr. Edwina Luck from QUT. Yeah. And also with me is the Alistair Cook of co-hosts, Patrick Condren.
I'm not accepting that moniker at
I'm
all.
I'm accepting it. Patrick, yes. Patrick.
What I like is that nobody else, anybody outside Australia won't get that.
Anyone outside Australia and England, because we're very big in England, understand. That's
true. I'm very excited about the first test. Just happened in Brisbane. It's just finishing tomorrow, so I'm very excited.
I think it's finishing in the same way that everyone thought it was going to finish.
With the Poms getting a good old-fashioned spanking.
Which brings me to my subject of the week, because I went to the Gabba on Friday.
Oh, lucky.
And I was lucky enough to be invited into one of those open-air corporate boxes.
Yes.
So there was 8 of us being plied with vast amounts of food and alcohol all day.
Yep.
And I was given a what could best be described as a corporate gift, and it came from Cricket Australia.
Ooh.
But I'll put this up obviously on the Instagram feed because people need to see it. I was given a stubby cooler.
You can buy those. What's so special about this one?
This one was absolutely fantastic because it looked like a cricket jumper and it had the same material feeling. It was a mini cricket jumper to put my beer bottle in.
So it was knitted?
Yes. Yeah, it was a knitted stubby cooler. I mean, I'm sure they didn't obviously knit them all individually.
Can I pick up an obvious design fold?
Yes.
Cricket jumpers are meant to keep you warm.
Yeah, and this is meant to keep your beer
cold.
Cold.
Yeah, but it's on the outside. You've still got the inside. Mm.
The inside still had that neoprene classic stubby cooler.
Sure. So feel. It's almost like a tea cozy for a stubby cooler.
Oh, love it. Love yes. a good tea cozy, I must say.
And the reason I wanted to bring it up was because I don't know whether it's me and whether I'm just tragic, but I've obviously mentioned correct. It a few times since Friday, since I got it. And I just thought it was for the expense that Cricket Australia must have spent creating these things, I think it was a nice little touch. And my question is whether you guys have ever had a little corporate freebie or a gift that you've kind of fallen in love with a little bit.
I have had numerous corporate gifts over the years. The best ones are ones that you can consume with a leg of lamb, for example, a bottle of wine. They're the ones that I fall in love with. But I was recently at a Lions game in the Chairman's Lounge at the Gabba, similar to you, but different game, obviously, Simon. And they gave me one of those battery packs that you can external battery packs that you can charge up and use for your phone.
Yes.
But on the outside of that, it was just an ordinary, normal battery pack, but it was encased in a hard rubber Lions jersey.
Oh.
And Finbar promptly purloined it. I've cleaned out his school bag from because school's over, and I found it because I'd been looking for it. And I said, how did that get there, son? And he said, I don't know. That was that. But I think that's it. They're going the extra mile. It must cost them a bomb. But every time I charge the machine up, I think of the Lions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's really clever. I think it's really, really clever.
What about you, Eddie? You had anything?
I can't think of anything, but I don't actually think it would cost a lot of money. I really don't. If they're ordering in bulk, hundreds of thousands, because you think of how many people go to these boxes, 8 people for 5 days for each test, but also there's the one days, there's the 2020, and for you, Pat, there's there's multiple games, probably 8 games throughout the season at times.
I never go to one just to get on the drink because it doesn't interest me. I only go for the corporate gift.
Yeah, well, I think it's on, Finn has it in his school bag, so it's top of mind for you, your son, or
because I can't find it.
Well, that's right. So where is it? But then it reminds you, the Lions. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, the cricket. Mm. And because sales promotion has always had a dodgy brothers type feel, I suppose, out of all the marketing tools that we have, sales promotions like, oh, steak knives, oh, you know, two-for-one deals. But you can be really creative. This is the most creative tool out of the marketing comms tools that, that you have. And look at those two examples. They're perfect.
Having worked in the beer industry, I've obviously seen a lot of promotions in my time and seen some incredibly tacky and scary promotions.
And well, if you go to the Wallabies, if you're in a corporate box at the Wallabies, you get a Wallabies cap. Which is fantastic.
Yeah. Mm.
Sometimes they give you a Wallaby scarf, which you can use on the one day of winter in Brisbane.
I mean, maybe
the Wallabies would have needed last night as well in Scotland. That's probably why they...
But they at Murrayfield. I've been to Murrayfield and watched the Wallabies trounce the boys in blue. It was fantastic.
Last night it was the other way around, sadly.
Oh, ouch.
And badly as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, let's not think about that. Mm. Can I talk politics?
Go for it.
The state election has been run and won and lost in Queensland. And inevitably in political battles these days, it's all about fear and smear. Mm. And I think one of the best ads that I have seen was as simple. Of course, Campbell Newman, when he was Premier of Queensland, was roosted out after one term between 2012 and 2015. And Tim Nicholls was his treasurer. So Tim Nicholls is the leader of the opposition now, and this ad, televisions, on billboards, all sorts of things. It had Campbell Newman in black and white, a photo of him, and then this shadow coming behind him. And as it got closer, you saw a little bit more, it revealed a little bit more. And then it was Tim Nicholls. And it was such an effective campaign, such an effective ad, linking this really unpopular premier with the bloke who was running that side of politics now. And I think, you know, Campbell Newman lost the LNP one election when he was premier and the next election when he wasn't. So he's lost them two elections. It's just, and it wasn't a, you see some really offensive attack ads and you see a lot of offensive attack ads emanating from America.
Yeah,
where they have popularised it and you know, they really do a good job on the opposition. But this was just by association. They didn't even have to say much in the ad and people picked it up. And I just thought it was really, really clever.
One of the things I was going to ask you about this election, because I felt it was different than it was 3 years ago. And for the people who are not in Australia and are listening to this, that
The millions.
We had a state election, and if you want to go and Google it and find out about it, you can. But it wasn't that interesting.
Wow.
My question. He said, having completely lost his train of thought after that. No, I remember where I was.
You should do these earlier before you get on the drink.
I've only had two. My question was, do you think that those TV ads that seem to smash us 3 years ago are as effective now because of people switching off terrestrial TV so much?
I do not. I do. Sorry, I do. I do. I do. I do. Feeling like a little bit of an ABBA song there. Very good pop culture reference. I do think they're effective because when I'm reading, when I'm on news websites, even on Facebook, they're appearing there.
Right.
So they're not just on terrestrial television. They are on social media as well. Now, I haven't come across on any on Twitter, but certainly when I've been looking at Facebook on my laptop, not so much on my mobile phone, but certainly on my laptop, you get the ads popping up there.
See, the interesting thing is because I feel that obviously with the talk of all the election last year in the US and, you know, people, you know, the Russians spending money on ads and all those kind of things, I half expected a barrage on my social media trying to influence the way that I would vote. And
in the Queensland election?
Yes.
Yes, you're giving too much credit to the political parties in Queensland.
Because I didn't get a lot. Okay. You don't think they've tapped into that whole social?
And the reason is because to do that, the algorithms that, you know, the programs that you need to buy to run the algorithms are too expensive for them.
Well, that's really interesting.
So you need a shed load of money.
That's probably why they've been using billboard advertising and sort of getting through that cut through at markets and back to basics marketing.
Well, it's interesting. I spoke to Eddie earlier. The guy that I interview after this spin cycle is a Facebook ads expert. And he said to me, I think he says to me in the interview, that he could have swung the election just himself.
Yep.
If one of the political parties had sat down with him and obviously invested some money.
Yep.
He believed he could have swung it.
Yep. And I think part of the reason that the big reason that the political parties here, certainly on a state level, is they just can't afford it. They just don't have the money to invest in it. They want to because they know that all this tech is available to them, but they just don't have the money to invest in it. And part of me thinks that's a good thing because of why do you want these outside people influencing your democratic right?
Mm.
I know that sounds a little bit simplistic, particularly when you've got terrestrial television, you've got ads in newspapers, and sort of all, if I could be so bold as to say, old school advertising.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's fine. I get the advertising, and you're an adult and you can make a decision whether or not you want to accept it or reject it. But when you're getting the subliminal stuff that, Simon, you're talking about via Facebook and the stuff that happened in the States last year with Trump and the Russians.
The fake news.
The fake news. I think that's a completely different kettle of fish.
Yeah, but you've also got to step back and say the demographics of Queensland, very small, and you're going to piss off a lot of people if you keep bombarding them on social media because you might have friends in Victoria, because I've just come back from Victoria and I actually don't know who's even won the election. But if I was being bombarded with Queensland politics on Twitter or Facebook, as you've been talking about, I'd be really annoyed. I'd be going, what is going on? So as you say, Pat, it's that back to basics marketing, billboards, radio, newspaper, that's actually has cut through. But I'm not sure, I don't know if I'd agree with you with the budget. I'm sure if the political parties wanted to find money for a digital marketing campaign for a month, then they'd be finding it. And if it was a very close election, then I bet you we'd see a social media barrage and a war. But who knows? Maybe in a few years' time, the next election.
My final point on this, and I think, you know, this is obviously worth maybe a discussion at another time. I think all of the political parties, certainly up here, certainly nationally, have a brand issue. And I think when you think about some of the billions of dollars that are spent on brands in just in Australia, but globally as well, on refreshing imagery and repositioning themselves and representing their, their goals, their mission statements and things like that. It feels that the political parties here and probably overseas as well are very stale. They're very, they haven't refreshed themselves for a while.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons is that the vast majority of them are run by old fat white men.
Yeah.
And you can't jazz that up in any way, shape or form. And the sort of people, you don't see fit young people going into politics.
No.
There's a certain sort of person that goes into politics and it's got to be their face on the billboard because you're voting for that person.
Yeah.
So you can't, you know, it's not like a brand ad where you can have, for example, Coca-Cola or, you know, a soft drink or something like that, where you've got bikinis and six-packed men in board shorts drinking this product. When it comes to politics, you just can't jazz up old, fat, white men.
And also...
I'm sorry, there's no way around it.
A lot of the political parties don't actually know what their brand story is, what their brand colour is,
So therefore, you know, extrapolating that, do you think that if parties invested more more in their look, their style, as well as their substance, they do better?
Well, they need to get a personality.
I think they'd have to do both. I think there's a massive gap in, you know, you just don't feel inspired. You know,
oh, God,
and,
that.
And I know you and I have argued about this several times in the past, but there's people who buy Apple products and absolutely love Apple products. There's, you know, I've interviewed people who've, you know, talk about Qantas, the Qantas brand, like it belongs to them. They love it. You know, there's people who love their brands, but unless you're a really determined and slightly tragic person, to say that you love a political party's brand, yeah, it's...
Yes, but you'll find the people that do are reflected by the MPs, and they're all drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're all signed, sealed, delivered. They are... So the people on the left who are drinking the Kool-Aid think I'm right wing, and the people on the right who are drinking the Kool-Aid think I'm a left wing socialist.
Yeah.
Because they're drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Because you're not signed up to them, yeah, you're not going to be able to convince them of anything.
I think there is final word on this one, but I think there's the whole of Australian politics, and I'd probably argue global politics as well, is crying out for a new wave of something. Somebody
totally
to stand
agree.
Up and
totally.
Say,
absolutely. And yeah. And the level of political discourse in this country is at a rock bottom.
Yeah.
Mm. And there's two groups to play that there's two groups at fault: the politicians and the media.
Yeah.
And I count myself in the media, obviously.
Yeah.
It is just awful because you're caught in a bit of a bind, because I've got to appeal to get ratings. If I tell a boring political story, people are going to turn off and watch Channel 9.
Yeah.
So I've got to tell an interesting story. And to tell an interesting story, I need conflict. I need jazzy pictures. I need the gotcha moment. And that all leads to politicians trying to avoid those things so that they don't get on the telly in an adverse way. So then they become more staid and they become more boring. And I work harder to get them doing something stupid, and it's like this giant monster consuming itself.
Well,
and so that's why you end up with all these people saying, politics is exactly what you said, Simon. It's so staid and boring.
Yeah.
And it
affects your brand, though, as well, Pat, as well as the political brand. So it's a no-win situation.
But I still get enough money to buy a carton of beer at the end of the week. I'm happy.
And that's an important thing.
Exactly. And speaking of buying things...
Yes. Nice segue, Ed.
Nice segue, Ed.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Well, so I've just come back from Melbourne. As I said, we were down there for rowing for Head of the Yarra, but I went down a little bit early and I didn't realise, I thought there'd be Christmas sales on or the start of, but I forgot that we now in Australia celebrate Black Friday sales.
What is a Black Friday sale?
Thank you for asking that, Simon. So back in the 60s, the term started in America, and it was to kick off the Christmas shopping season. So black refers to the stores moving from the red of the balance sheet into the black. So a red obviously indicates a loss, a black for a profit. So now, you know, back in America, there was always the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. So around Thanksgiving Day in America, the Black Friday sales started. Now, we have taken those on board very much like Halloween. Well, some of us do Halloween. I must admit I don't, but...
I love Halloween.
Really?
I steal the kids' lollies.
Well, I thought you'd be a bit of the Grinch, but that's sort of Christmas, isn't it? But anyway. so not only are there, we'll say in Melbourne, you've got these 40% sales on already, but I went to DFO down at Southgate, which is just down from South Bank in Melbourne, and there were 50% off on these already discounted items. So one floor of DFO is all sporting goods. So the Nike store, now you guys are just going to go, oh, my God, the lineup to get into the store was over 100 metres long.
No, that's just ridiculous.
I know.
Life
totally.
Is too short to queue that long.
Absolutely.
Way too short. But I don't understand. It seems to my primitive male brain that there is a sale on somewhere all the time.
There is, absolutely. And we are programmed. And a lot of brands, say, for example, Myers DJs, they program us. But now with online sales and our favourite online shopping hubs that we all go to, whether it's Strawberry Fields, Ozsale, you know, you name it, it's there.
Well, you better start naming it, because I've got no idea what you're talking about there. What is that? What's a sale hub?
It's a whole new world to you. So it's a whole world where instead of going shopping, you can just go to an online portal where you can buy men's clothes, female clothes, perfumes.
Different brands.
Uh-huh, different brands. And so they've all also had these.
Why don't you go outside and run around in the grass?
Well, that's right. You know, people do that as well. But the bigger thing with online, well, there's two things. One is that Australia Post were giving you a special Black Friday weekend shopping deal, another promotion, very much like what Simon got at the cricket, but maybe a bit different. So because a lot of us actually shop online to go, you know, in America or Europe, because they're having even bigger sales. So Australia Post are enticing you to stay home and shop local.
I think what Australia is missing from the Black Friday hype is somebody leading it. And I think it's
Where does it happen? Where does this thing happen?
Does it happen in Brisbane?
Yes, it happened in Brisbane.
Out of the US. Does it happen in Brisbane?
Yes, it did. Courier Mail ran an article about where
it's
to
in
go.
The Courier Mail. You can't trust it. That's a waste of time and effort. Is that right?
That's right. That it listed about 20 stores that were offering things. But Simon, it's interesting you use the word hype, because a lot of big brands. So Friday is the traditional day where, you know, people are lining out side stores at 6 a.m. But a lot of the big retailers wanting to create that that buzz won't do their online. They'll drip feed you specials, but they'll say, oh, at 3 o'clock we're going to do something, at 4 o'clock we're going to do something else. So they actually entice you in. And you were talking about drinking the Kool-Aid before, Pat. It's about if your customers know who your brand is, what you stand for, and your customers love you, if you can entice them in, keep them excited and say, well, keep them excited till 3 p.m., 4 p.m., then they're not going to go and shop somewhere else at 10 a.m.
I just can't believe that there is that much thought that goes into this stuff. Isn't it really the case that if you something breaks, you go to the shop and replace it? If you want something, you walk in, buy it, and that's it.
Sure, but this is sort of replacing the Boxing Day sales. So it's
I get that. I get that it's replacing the Boxing Day sales. What I don't get is the need to participate in it in the first place.
Absolutely.
Whether it be Boxing Day or Black Friday or whatever the case may be.
You see, I almost had to take my wife's credit card away from her on Friday just because she kept getting all these emails, these Black Friday email sales through, and she was going, there's some good deals here. And I'm like, we don't
what
need
do you need
anything.
It for?
We don't need another washing machine. Yeah, exactly.
There's people that I know that buy something in the sale, and because it's $200 off in the sales, they then logically deduct that they've got another $200 to spend on something else.
Absolutely. No, you're very right about that.
You've not met my wife, have you?
I have. Have I?
No, I don't think you have, actually.
I don't think I have. Well, what time do you want me around?
Hopefully at Christmas drinks. So another thing, I was just on Instagram.
Did you just say Christmas drink and then move on to something else?
Yes. I'm back telling you my story. Is that there was
I thought you'd finished.
No, you thought.
Maybe that was just hope.
Ha, ha, ha. So there was a site on Instagram that you could click through, and it told you how many sales per minute, which was, when I clicked there before, it was $90,000 per minute. This was in North America. Yeah, per minute. It's just crazy. And this was ticking over. So you talk about algorithms, and I can't wait to listen to the interview, Simon, that you did with this Facebook guy, because the numbers and the stats are astounding. So I don't know, is it promoting credit card debt? Is it promoting, you know, behaviour that, we're going to have to suffer the consequences in
yes. Mm. It turns us into more of a throwaway society.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I've got a belt that I bought decades ago, and some part of it broke. You know, the bit that holds the buckle on.
Yeah.
And the popular view here was chuck it out. And I spent $5 at the bootmaker up at the supermarket up the road, and he fixed it. And it's a perfectly workable belt.
Good.
On that pair of shoes, I spent. I haven't finished yet, mate. You don't keep me. You don't get me up this early.
What?
And then move me on. You know, I got a pair of boots. I bought a pair of boots in Melbourne a couple of years ago. The sole fell out of them. So I took them up, and they're still going. I've worn them for 26 days, 28 days straight in the election campaign.
Nothing wrong. Favourite boots. I love getting my boots fixed, and we should.
I'm going to wrap this up because with one little note, because I just want to make the point that Black Friday pushed Jeff Bezos, who is the head and owner of Amazon, the CEO of Amazon, pushed his net worth to the first person, to the only person above $100 billion.
Oh, goodness me.
What would you do with $100 billion? That's ridiculous.
I tell you what, Patrick, what he would do with $100 billion is buy new belts and new shoes. That's
but then
pretty
how do you get the, how do you get character into the new into the old belts and the old shoes?
No, I'm sure he'll
with
find
with $100 billion, I suspect he doesn't care about
Simon.
The character of the belt and the shoes.
Gosh, well, to earn money, you got to, to make money, you got to save money. And Pat, I hear you
thanks,
on the
Grandma.
Boots. Yeah, absolutely.
So thank you both very much for your contributions again this week. It's been, as always, an absolute pleasure. And now Patrick's got a bit of a week off. Maybe you've got a week off.
No, I haven't. I'm still on deck because we're going to do the wash up. But right. But it, you know, there's no travel involved, so it's a lot it's a lot more reasonable.
Thank you both very much, and we will talk to you next week. So I welcome today to the Simon Dell Show somebody I've known for a long while, somebody I've seen stand up on stage and give a talk to lots of small businesses, and he does a lot of that. He also writes for Smallville. You still write for Smallville, do you, Phil?
I haven't lately, but that's just because I'm so busy doing Facebook ads.
Ah, there you go. But his main business is www.adchief.io. Phil is an absolute legend and know-it-all about Facebook ads, and he's pretty much the person that I now go to ask stupid questions about Facebook ads, even though I really should know everything about them myself. But so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about his background, what he does now. So welcome to the show, Phil McGregor.
Hey, thanks, Simon. My mum always said I was special.
Well, I think you're special too as well. So what we'll do is let's just start off because I just want to get an idea. There's two things I want to get an idea from you. First is what you're doing. Well, first is where you are sat right at this moment, because I think that's quite interesting. So just in case anybody hears a bird screeching in the background, I think it's important that you tell them where you are. And the second thing is I just want to know, just give us a quick sort of 2-3 minute history of how you got to where you got to and what you do at the moment.
Yeah, sure. I'll do my best to keep it to 3 minutes. Awful bit.
So. Speak as long as you like. Yeah.
Those birds screeching in the background are a rainforest, not on the Surfers Paradise boardwalk. But I'm just sitting in a rainforest right now. Just bear with me if any cockatoos screech past. But my big background, originally I was a police officer of 12 years, Queensland, and I specialised in intelligence. Helping, you know, catch criminals. The funny thing about that was I was analysing like drug dealers' telephone bills a lot, and I found out I was pretty good at that sort of stuff, and ended up inventing my own piece of software to analyse my own telephone bills to find the cheapest deal. Long story short, a mate heard about it, and he told a mate who told a mate who told a mate, and next thing you know, I'm licensing the technology to Optus, Vodafone, Telstra around Australia. That ran for a few years, had to quit my job as a police officer, but it was the same process, catching clients for telcos. Basically did it the same way as I catched caught criminals. And then the cost of mobile phones just kept getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper until there was no point doing an analysis. And then I found myself wandering around Australia with my family, taking some time off after 10 years of small business, i.e. no holidays. And I also own a Facebook group. And in that Facebook group, a post kept coming up by a guy called Veritasium, who said, Facebook ads are a fraud. I had a look at what he said. 99% of what he said was true. And his basic premise was that if you use the boost post, I don't know if everybody's heard about it. Most people have, I think. But if you use the boost post, you'll basically attract click farmers, and you're never going to make any money out of those. So waste of money. The problem is, or was, that the boost post was a shortcut, and I tried my best to explain to people that if you do it the right way, you won't have those problems, and the post will get shared again, and I'd say it again, and the post will get shared again, and say it again, until it got to the point where I was sick of repeating myself, and created a little short course online, and just directed people to that. That went nuts. Then I started to basically recognize that there was something in this Facebook ad stuff, because it only just started at that point, and I said it in my business group. If anybody wants to have a chat about Facebook ads, come across to this other group so we don't hijack the business thread. And something like 300 people just came across within 24 hours. And wow. Yeah, so I just spent the rest of the next couple of months just helping people, and all for free, doing my own little webinars and just basically being helpful. And as a result of all of that, I got picked up by a digital agency to help with their clients. And then I had other clients come to me. Next thing you know, I'm managing accounts, spending $120,000 a year. a month. I'm being flown all over Australia and New Zealand to speak about it. And that was a whopping 3 years ago. So wow. I feel like a veteran in the sport, just because that's only really been going for 3 or 4 years in its own right, Facebook advertising. So, so I find myself talking to you today.
Wow. So at the moment, you know, what is Ads Chief? What's Ads Chief do? What is the or Ad Chief? Sorry, there's no S in there. Sorry,
no, Ad Chief. Yeah. Yeah. No, common mistake. Ad Chief basically is a glorified boost button. In a nutshell. So the biggest problem with the boost button is that you have limited control, but you just want to get it out there. So it's not a digital agency as such. It's just to help people get their message out into the world, a bit like a concierge service. You would come to us to say, okay, can you do this? But we're not into planning or strategy or anything like that. That's a higher level service. But AdChief itself is for anybody who needs to get started, basically, in getting their message out there to the world.
And that could be anybody from big business to small business, sole traders, that kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah. And obviously, the bigger the business and the bigger the budget, the more thought and preparation has to go into it. So there's different levels for people. But AdChief, the product, is just to get started.
Now, the first bit that you told us, there's probably about 1,000 questions I've got from that. But just on a sidetrack, I just wanted to do you miss being a police officer?
Oh, man, sometimes I really badly do. You'll be standing on the side of the road somewhere and a car will go past 1,000 miles an hour, lights and sirens, and a little part of the ADHD boy inside me just kind of gets a bit squirmy that I'm not in the car doing the chasing. I got to tell you, that was pretty fun. It's a massive comradeship in the police. From Melbourne Cup days to just drinking on a Friday afternoon, that's a thing police do well. And, I miss the boys in that sense. Yeah. Going from there into small business is quite isolating, and so you do tend to miss the friendship.
You've never felt the urge to citizens arrest people in your time outside the police yet?
You actually just cut out then. Can you repeat the question?
I was going to say you've never had the urge to citizens arrest anybody in your time out of the police.
No, thankfully I haven't had to do that yet. But can I tell everybody out there, if anybody does enter your premises, you do have the right to detain them using equal measure of force. So if you find somebody in your house, you are allowed to hold them down until the police get there, just so you know.
Right. Well, I'm glad we've gone off on a tangent and learned that. That's very important for me. The first kind of question I want to get to you is that when people come to you, obviously a lot of people come to you wanting to do Facebook ads and they already have it in their mind about the benefits and all those kind of things. But what are you, if you're saying to someone who's a bit sort of on the fence as to whether whether Facebook ads was the right thing for them to be doing for their business, what's your kind of top three pitches? What are the things that you sell it to them on?
Yeah, sure. So number one, those sorts of people don't generally have their own Facebook presence. They're a bit unsure about it, or they've never really gotten into it, and they don't kind of understand it terribly well. So for them, I say that doesn't matter. Because it's not really about where their eyeballs are, it's where their target market's eyeballs are. So Facebook has basically everybody as a user now using it for like half an hour a day minimum. So you know, it doesn't matter whether they use it or not. They just want to get in front of those eyeballs. So bite the bullet and jump head first. So that's to the kind of the unsure people. The next ones know they should be on Facebook in their advertising plan, but they kind of don't know really where to start or maybe the kind of the benefits of it. To that, I would say almost exactly the same thing. All your target market is on Facebook. Facebook knows everything about everybody, and the intelligence officer inside me gets a bit like funny about that. The story for me is that I was actually the last person I know to jump onto Facebook. I was very, very actually late to the market, and it wasn't until I heard about the nature of the connectedness of people on Facebook. So just to put that into perspective, do you remember the emails you used to get prior to social media? And it would come from a mate who would say something along the lines of, I've got a mate, they've just started a business. If you could just share this email to, you know, your 10 friends, all that sort of stuff. Nobody ever did, right? Like, they ever went to the first level and that was it. And then I found out that Facebook could do that concept without the permission of the friend. To pass it along. So you could basically get them to put their hand on it and say, I like this, without them actually kind of approving it. And that's the day I signed up to Facebook, so that I could see that from a business perspective. It's quite powerful. And to this day, it is still one of the best things you can do, is to get social proof without needing people to actually have to do anything.
So I think that point there that you make, that literally everybody is on Facebook, is probably the most important factor. I get a lot of people saying to me, oh, look, my target market might be CEOs or high level business owners or senior managers in corporate businesses. How do you, are you still confident that those sort of people are using Facebook enough and that you can target them?
Do they have kids?
Well, most of them would. Yeah, I'd imagine.
Then they're on Facebook.
Right.
They were dragged kicking and screaming by their kids, because that's where they share their photos now. And if grandma or granddad want to see them, then they just had to come to the party. In fact, that demographic has been the fastest growing new user base on Facebook in the last 6 years. Everybody's on it. And then, of course, Instagram will come along, or Snapchat. But once those oldies got that first one, that's where they're staying. And so everybody just stays there now. It is the place for all people to share all things social. And so I think that's the main key.
You made another point a moment ago about, you know, Facebook know everything. And there was a video going around probably about a week ago about somebody testing whether Facebook are actually listening to your conversations. And I think it was a conversation about, they basically had a conversation about cat food or a cat. And they didn't have a cat. They didn't have any pets. But they sat around the phone and they kept talking about cats deliberately. And then 2 or 3 days later, adverts for cat food started appearing in their news stream. Do you think that's a real thing? Do you think that's actually happening? What's the intelligence officer in you thinking about things like that?
I've been saying publicly for years that Facebook are listening to our phone calls. I'm glad somebody actually put it to the test. I should have done it myself. I believe it with certainty that they're listening to everything.
Wow. You don't find that disturbing, or do you find that disturbing? But just think the pros perhaps outweigh the cons.
Well, my big belief is also that a shark can only eat one person at a time. So, you know, if you're in there with a sea of 1.5 billion people, I don't think Facebook gives a shit about me. That's my personal belief. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg has a, if you ever look at any photos of him with his computer, there's a piece of tape over the camera on his laptop. So, I mean, there's plenty of evidence to suggest it, but honestly, I'm a no one to anyone in any way that would be interesting unless they want to talk about cat food.
I find that's quite interesting when people sort of say, you know, people who don't want their data shared, or, you know, all that kind of thing, who feel very protective about their data. And I always sit there and say, well, look, somebody knows everything about me anyway. You know, the bank knows where I take money out, the mobile phone company knows where I am most of the time, and all those kind of things. And really, if people are that interested about me going backwards and forwards to work 5 days a week and then sitting on the sofa for the rest of the week, let them have that information. It doesn't really bother me. So
Exactly. And so yeah. I'm the same, exactly the same. The one thing people should do, however, this is the police officer coming at me, is take your, take your date of birth off Facebook. Just don't make it a, either a different year or just a completely random date, because the one thing you should be completely protective of is your identity. It's the what's the one question that you get asked when you ring the bank over the phone or the insurance company or the anybody you need to identify yourself with, right? So
yeah,
protect your date of birth. Identity fraud will become the scourge of this century, because I can steal money without having to see anybody. It's completely anonymous. There's no risk of me being shot at while I'm trying to get money out of a till. Identity fraud is going to be the issue. So say what you like about yourself, but just don't give people identifying stuff.
Okay. So far we've had really two good pieces of information from the former police officer in you that hold people down when they break into your house and get your date of birth off of Facebook. So we're learning. So I hope everyone's writing all this down. So my next question then is, if people want to do Facebook ads themselves, what are some of the basic things that they've really got to get right, or you know, the mistakes that you see them making? Let's start with, what are the basics that people should get right?
First is to understand that Facebook is a liquid. It's changing all the time. Nothing ever stays the same. It's basically a full-time job just to keep up with it all. And even then, we're finding that people are being really niche-y within Facebook just to be really good at one particular aspect of it. So if you're going to go headfirst into it, you're going to need to educate yourself quite a lot. The second thing is that you will have to understand that it is a social media platform. What I find generally people with too much cash do is to say, buy my widget. And people don't go onto Facebook to be sold to necessarily. So, yeah, if you're going out there saying, buy this, then people will probably glaze over it pretty quickly. And it'll cost you a lot of money to find that one person who does actually need it right there and then. So that's number one. Number two, number three is be interesting. If there's something about what you do, can you solve a problem? Can you tell a story? You know, there's people love stories and they love their problems being solved. So that would be my top three. Definitely be interesting.
How, just on that last one, that be interesting idea, that's obviously quite a challenge for a lot of people, isn't it? I mean, do you see that? I was joking in my last podcast about, or one of the previous podcasts, about accountants and their struggle to be interesting on social media. And once again, apologies to all the accountants out there who are interesting on social media. But do you find that as a general problem with a lot of businesses of all sizes?
It's always harder to do it for yourself. You know, the cobbler's wife is always the worst shod kind of concept. I actually recommend people do a lot of this sort of thing. Talk to people, as even podcasting, or just be interviewed or something, because other people will find things interesting about you that you yourself don't find interesting because it's normal and natural and everyday for you. So always talk to other people, find out what they like, and then talk about that. Don't you pick it, what that thing that you find interesting. And there's lots of tools. I don't know if we'll have time to get into them or not, but there's some tools out there to help achieve that. And don't rely on yourself to do it. Talk to other people. And I think the one thing about entrepreneurs is they love to talk about their businesses, but they're hopeless at writing it down. So get interviewed, talk to people. That's the answer.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic piece of advice. I think a lot of people, certainly if you're in an industry that you find challenging to perhaps, you know, create content for, there are people out there who will help you do that. There's a lot of people that can help talk stories out of you. So, you know, you don't have to bring these people on and pay them full time. There's a lot of people that will help you, you know, for, you know, short term to, you know, whether it's blogs or whether it's podcasts or videos or whatever it is. So I think that's a real key thing is to not be completely reliant on yourself. Go and ask people for help.
Yes, absolutely. And there's plenty of groups on Facebook where you can achieve that too.
What one of the things that I always, that I've perhaps struggled with Facebook ads in the last 18 months is it's very easy. And this is the lazy shortcut person in me, that when I want to run a Facebook ad, I sit there and go, just find a picture. Let's just shove any old image up there. Is it bright and colorful and meaningful? Yeah, let's just shove that up there. when I often then think perhaps I should spend more time investing in video or carousel images or multiple images. What's your advice on that? I mean, is it basically the more effort you put in, the bigger the reward?
In a sense, yes. So I've done a heap of testing on this subject. On the image side of things, if you can imagine, getting an image is obviously the easiest thing to do. Producing a video is a bit tougher. But if you're going to produce an image, try to include some red in there somewhere. It contrasts really beautifully with the Facebook blue. So I find that whenever I have clients who submit a whole bunch of digital assets to me, I always try to predict, just as a personal game, which one I think is going to do the best. And what I find now is it's always the one with a bit of red in it is the common element. Just to give you an example, so have like a car driving company, and one of the photos we used was a young fella holding a license with his sitting in the car with his arm on the kind of the window down, looking at the camera, smiling. And the car was red, so the frame of the door became something of a frame of the picture, and it just did the best of everything because the car was red. Simon, I don't know if you remember, but you you wrote a guest blog for me once, and I put an image on it, and it was about the fuel behind Facebook, and yes. I used a petrol nozzle. Do you remember what the color of the petrol nozzle was?
I know, it was a red,
It was a red one, right? So so if that ever gets shared on Facebook, it's the red of the nozzle that actually picks people's attention, and then they concentrate on what the context of it is. So I never told you that, but that's an example. So that's the nature of images. Just try to, the whole thing doesn't have to be fully red. Just have it in there. Just seems to do better. The next thing is have it consistent. So wherever the photo leads to, I always try to have the same photo in the ad as what they're going to see when they get to the destination. So they know they're in the right place. They're kind of a bit more comfortable psychologically, and therefore more likely to go through the process. Yeah. But in terms of effort, the one you pick will always be worse than the random one that you don't think will work, but you chucked it in anyway. just guaranteed, right? You know, let the market decide. So don't just put one in, put a bunch, and Facebook will lean towards the one that's best, and then you've got your answer. But the problem with imagery is that all it can do is send people to your website. If you create a video and you put that in your post instead, Facebook uses that like a bucket under a dripping tap. Anybody who watches the video gets put into the bucket, i.e. your Facebook ad account, and you can collect them there forevermore. So even if they don't go and do the thing you're trying to get them to do, you've still got them in terms of the ability to remarket to them for up to a year. Wow. So if you've ever been followed around the internet, so people who've, you know, touched something somewhere online and they've been followed around with it for ages, that's the sort of technology that's behind a video now. And it used to only be available to the big brands, but anybody can do it now. It's free to collect people, it's free to hold on to people. The only thing you'll ever pay for is the follow-up post as a result of, you know, what you want to say to the people that you collect. So it's kind of like no excuse not to collect people.
Do you find with video that the production level matters, or do you think it's fine that someone goes out there with their iPhone and does something a bit quirky and funky with an iPhone and some sort of fairly average sound and uses that? Or do you think it, once again, the investment delivers the return?
Most people watch a Facebook video with their sound off. They'll only generally go into it if they really want to see it or hear it, but mostly they'll just watch it with the sound off. So captioning is a really big thing to do now. Even if it's just to get people to click on it and open it, but make sure you got captions within any video you produce. But in terms of video production value, definitely the better you can achieve, the better the results. iPhone is fine, like it does a great job, but everybody's kind of at that point now where you kind of need to start standing out again. Like once upon a time, you just had to be on there and doing it, and you were standing out. Yeah. But now it's getting to the point where you just got to keep that little bit step ahead. So any production value you can add to it will definitely help. Facebook are doing some really funky things now with technology. So the 360-degree videos becoming posts now that are that people are having some fun with. There's photos that you can click and hold that turn into videos. Just insane. They're just going crazy. When I was in Facebook headquarters just recently, I was talking with the boss of the Australia region, and we were talking about the video nature of things, and it's where they want to be. It's what they want. More video is uploaded to Facebook now than YouTube, and they've released Facebook TV now as well, so you'll be able watching all of your shows there shortly. Video.
Okay. That's interesting. Again, it's a challenge for a lot of businesses to produce video, and I think the struggle that I always see is that the gap between producing a photo, which you could use a stock image or, you know, whatever, or it could be, you know, an historical image that your company's taken, to then jumping up to producing a Facebook video, there's a big gap in cost there still. Mm. So I find that a bit of a challenge for a lot of businesses. Is that what you see as well, from the cost
of course. Yeah, definitely. So the big thing is that you've also got to understand what the objective is as well. So most people can only think about selling on Facebook, and that's basically it. But if your objective is to sell, then sometimes you're better off collecting first, nurturing, and then selling. You know, 8 touches of the brand, all that sort of thing. Yeah. So get started with imagery to collect people, like send them to your website and collect them with your pixel. Once you've kind of got that rolling, then maybe produce a video which helps align people with your purpose. And it doesn't necessarily have to be as awesome, because you've already collected them. You didn't have to get their attention first. You've already done that. Yeah. So the video can just be about nurturing. And therefore, you don't have to be as production value proficient as you maybe think you do.
And just to repeat something you said earlier, definitely put subtitles on a video.
Without doubt. It's okay. It's easy to do. Facebook used to have, they've kind of stopped it, I don't know why, but they actually had a little sub caption making facility when you uploaded the video, and it was actually quite good. It was easy to use, but I haven't seen it for a while, so I don't know why they took it down.
And only 15 seconds, is that the optimum time?
For the length of, or the duration of the video? Yeah. Is that the question?
Yeah. Yes.
Again, it depends on the objective and where the video sits within your cycle of marketing. But anything less than 75 seconds will automatically play. Anything over 75 seconds, they'll have to actually press the play button, so you don't get their attention as much. Actually, that may even have changed. Who knows? Facebook's a liquid. The 15-second thing is, I'd say, more around collecting their attention and then getting them to do something. If that's your original source of attraction, then as concise and as to the point as possible.
Okay, wonderful. What are some of the we've talked about the basics that people get right. When you go in and fix people's Facebook ads, like mine, for example, what are the common mistakes you see that people have made?
Generally speaking, they're placing their ads everywhere. Right. So Facebook can put your ads on mobile phones, on desktops, to the right-hand side of things. They can put it in instant articles. They can put it in videos. They can put it on games, on phone. They can put it everywhere, right? Like, your ads can go far and wide. However, people don't generally want to click on an ad when they're playing a game. I want the game for free, so I'm just going to have that over there, but I don't really care about the ads kind of thing. So anybody who touches it is accidentally touching it, and therefore ruining your chances of being successful on Facebook, because they're just wasting your money, right? So what I find generally is that Facebook defaulting will always default to the thing that makes them the most money. But you've got to be really specific about where your ads go. And the ones that we find work the best are on a mobile phone.
Okay.
And then on the desktop. So always include those two things. And I would say exclude all else. And at this point, I'm still even on the wall about Instagram advertising. Some people making a really good killing out of it, but they're really specialized areas. And so generally speaking, I'm not finding a great conversion rate from Instagram either. But certainly, don't stick with the defaults, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
You taught me a trick 3 or 4 weeks ago, and you can feel free not to share this one, because I thought this was a great piece of insider information. But you mentioned about adjusting the budgets, or adjusting the budget, so having big budget to start with and then adjusting the budget down. And you explained it to me, and I kind of nodded my head and went, okay, that makes sense. And then, you know, I sort of glazed over a little bit where I went, I can't remember all that information. Can you kind of explain what that was, where that you were trying to explain to me?
Yeah, sure. So let's say, for example, your marketing budget is $5 a day. So that's $35 a week. What I was trying to say was, instead of spending $5 a day, spend that entire $35 in one day. Then Facebook can really get going with your reaching of people. And so let's say it costs $5.50, for example, to make a sale. Then each day you're kind of giving yourself almost an impossible chance. Whereas by putting all the money into one day and then not advertising for the rest of the week, you're getting a potential for maybe 5 sales in that one day. I hope that makes sense in an auditory form. But so give yourself the best chance for one day rather than hardly any chance every single day.
Right. Okay. Yeah, there we go. They're the birds in the background. They've arrived.
this is obviously interesting information that they want as well.
they're off to their smartphones to sort some ads out for themselves. I'd like to hear, I'm sure you've obviously had a lot of successes with Facebook ads, and feel free to use this as an opportunity to plug a client, because I'm sure they'd like it as well. But I'd love to hear about a success that you've had with Facebook ads that's actually sort of hopefully transformed someone's business.
Yeah, sure. So I won't share my client's details. I actually, the intelligence officer in me can't do that.
No, that's absolutely fine. let's call them client A, shall we?
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's call it client events. So I can talk specifically to maybe a type of objective people want to achieve. So the last event I did was basically selling tickets to a thing, and the budget I was given was $10,000 to achieve that over a number of weeks, and we ended up coming back with a revenue of $1.43 million from that $10,000.
Wow.
Dollars given to Facebook. Yeah, that was actually really fun to watch that one. So can I talk about the nature of why it was successful?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it. That's what we want to hear. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So the big thing is that these guys were already successful. I know that sounds really obvious, but it's really easy to advertise somebody who's already doing well. And they may have like advertising going on in other mediums, for example, or whatever, where the people we're talking to kind of already know about them, or they've already got a heap of fans already. So when we find their friends, it's like 10 people like this that you know in your personal group. So therefore, they're more likely to see that and go, oh, I really should get to that event. It's a lot easier to advertise somebody who's already successful. So when a client comes to me and they're struggling or whatever, I kind of have to say to them, look, we're not going to be able to fix your solution. Your situation overnight, but if we can make you sort of a bit more successful today and continue that, then eventually you'll start to see the same sort of results. But it's definitely a L'Oreal moment, where it won't happen overnight. So that's events. So when someone's already successful, I can amplify their success is the nature of that example. Let me tell you about another one that isn't successful. So this is another event. They came to me and they'd spent $18,000 over the last 3 months and then didn't really have the results they're achieving. So I had a look at their account and I said something along the lines of, look, I think I can achieve the same result that you've gotten so far from your $18,000 over 3 months. And I think I'm pretty confident I can do the exact same result within a day and maybe $300. $300, sorry. And they said, go for it, obviously. So I did. And can I tell you, I got the exact same result in a day for $100. So the exact same result as $18,000 spent. So that was an example of Facebook being a liquid, i.e. the ocean, and a boat being a hole in the ocean you pull money into. So that's effectively what they were doing. And I find that happens quite a lot. So that's two examples.
So you save them $17,900 and 3 months work. pretty much.
In a sense, yes. Yeah. Yes. If you want to look at it that way, yeah. I did end up spending the full $300 and I did actually get three times the result. But anyway, okay, so that's an event. I actually did the same thing with a house sale as well. A friend of mine came to me and said, look, my parents are trying to sell a house and the print people want them to pay like $14,000 to sell it. Yeah. I'm sure we can do better than that with Facebook ads. What do you reckon? And yeah, so for $300 for them, I got that house sold. And the agent, she didn't tell her parents and she didn't tell the agent. We just did the ads kind of thing. Wow. And the agent was saying to her later on, I've never had a house like this before. We had three offers prior to auction. I've had people ringing me every single day. It's like, I don't know what happened. This, your house is just going off, right? And then she had to fess
up.
Because she thought, and then that ended up getting me into the bowels of News Limited and putting bamboo under my fingernails to tell me what I was doing, to tell them what I was doing. And that was pretty funny. That happens all the time. Right? But anyway, so let's talk about clients now. So here's another one. Cushion covers, right? Like $22 cushion covers. Started them off at the markets and grew them up. They're now turning over $1 million a year in $22 cushion covers, right?
Wow.
And that's just, yeah, just with a little Shopify store. And it's just going nuts. I mean, we spend, you know, a fair bit of cash in order to achieve $1 million, but it obviously comes back in terms of ROI.
ROI? But I mean, ballpark it, because I mean, obviously you don't know all the numbers, but if they were spending $1, what do you think that's returning to them?
About at least $3 back.
Okay.
Okay. At least, yeah. I don't know about every single detail, but at least that. And I would suggest if your dollars aren't getting three times return on investment, then, you know, there's room for improvement. That should be a minimum, in my opinion. I'll get some clients 10 times return on investment. And depending on the campaign, I've got another one, a baby shop. So so these guys sell like prams and infant carriers and stuff like that. And we get them 27 times return on investment. Wow. Just from one campaign. So the $250 a month or whatever they pay me, this is one of the ones that came on, you know, just as a starting off thing. So the $250 these guys pay me, I've turned just one campaign that every business should have, and I think they've spent like $300 on it so far, has returned them $7,000 in revenue. Just this one campaign that every business should have. Like, it's just, everyone should have it. Like, just do not pass go. And
you must be a popular, you're a popular guy with your clients then.
You'd think so. Sometimes I don't even get a thank you for doing that sort of stuff. But, you know, that's my cross to bear.
It's Christmas coming around, so hopefully there'll be some gift baskets on their way to you. But
I won't hold my breath.
I just want to touch on Facebook Messenger because, again, truth be told, I've read about it. I've watched videos. Ben Angel has this video that goes around about Facebook Messenger and things like that. Can you give us a bit of an understanding sort of in the last 6 months, 12 months, how that's evolved into an advertising platform and perhaps just two of the three things that you think people could do on it, or whether you think it's still sort of early days and perhaps people should ignore it?
Well, don't ignore anything is my belief. Give it a go. If it works for you, keep doing it. If it doesn't, then ignore it. So Messenger is just another platform now. Facebook spun it off a fair while ago, and it's just another place eyeballs are hanging out for a fair few minutes of the day. So it's another awesome place to chuck a billboard. That's number one. So anybody can advertise into that space. So as you're scrolling through your messages, there'll be an ad there now for something. All the same principles still apply. It's still got to be eye-catching. It's still got to be relevant to the people you're sending it to. Same. What happens next, I think, is probably the more interesting part. So what Facebook have really gone hard for is a thing called a chatbot, and they've opened up their platform for people to be able to create responses to input from people. So if I went onto Simon Dell's Facebook page right now and I said, hey, is anybody there? What comes back to me? Like, what's the process that you lead me through? And chatbots can provide a button that says, you know, sales query or support query, and then you can start leading people down a path so that when they do finally get to you, you've got some sense of what they're trying to achieve without having to muck around all day. And that's getting a lot of attention at the moment. Having said that, my personal belief on the fadness of it all is that it shouldn't be the entire process. I think people will find, as in all my testing is true, that it's the person that actually makes the conversion. I don't think a chatbot will necessarily be the be-all and end-all forever. I think there is a novelty to it now, but I don't think it'll do that. But if you can get people to a person in a way that makes everyone's life easier, that will always work. But yeah, that's where I'm finding the best conversions are coming from right now. If I can direct people to message me or my client, and that's then manned by an intelligent operator. The people are looking for information quickly, and a human will always outshine anything in that sense. So, yeah, messengers, it's taking off at the moment.
Okay, that's fantastic. We've got three more questions as we come towards the end of the interview. Obviously you're quite immersed in Facebook. What are some of the other brands that you admire out there that you not necessarily try and copy, but brands that you always sort of are attracted to, that you might always purchase, that kind of thing?
Yeah, sure. Well, I'll talk about both. So a brand I would never purchase but I admire is Michelle Bridges. So if you're a personal space kind of client and you want to be the authority in what you do and how you do it, I would thoroughly recommend following her. I think she's doing quite well in terms of how she presents herself, you know, giving great content, aligning people with her purpose, and then once they're there, then it's not really selling from that point on. You just know her and do it. She's definitely a great one to watch. I actually watched, this is a little side issue, but the Donald Trump Facebook advertising campaign. I was following what his guys were doing around that sort of stuff. There's a lot to be said there for too. I actually gave a pitch to a couple of politicians nearby to say, hey, like, you know, I think you're going to be close. You know, if you want me to swing an election, let me have a go, and I'll do a Donald Trump for you kind of thing. And strangely, they didn't take me up on it. And I really hope it's close, and I really hope they miss by a little bit, so I can go, I told you so.
I might use that as the snapshot for the introduction for this show. Do you want me to swing an election?
because it's actually quite an easy thing to do, and if you follow the right principles, if anything, whether it's a product or a political campaign, you can align people with your purpose. It's a thing. So I'd love to have had a go at that this time around, but I don't know, maybe next time.
Any other brands?
Any
other brands that you that you're attracted to?
Yes. So a brand that I really, really like is McDonald's.
Okay.
So what these guys are doing that I'm really loving following is they're really making use of the new technology that Facebook's bringing out. So so with a video, for example, they'll create like a really long thin video, whereas everybody else is doing kind of landscape, you know, short and fat ones. But they'll do a long one and then do something creative within that. And obviously they've got the marketing budget to achieve all this sort of stuff and I get that, but what they're doing with the edges of the capabilities, I think, should be just watched. Know where to sort of head towards. So they're a good one. Who else? Check out. This one's for community. So if you want to build a community within your business, check out the Woodford Folk Festival. Okay. These guys have an amazing community of people. You watch, you be a troll, like say something on that. I mean, don't actually do this, but watch for somebody else being a troll on their page, and you watch the community jump on them like a sack of fucking potatoes, right? The community that has rallied around these guys is really, really interesting to watch. So they're inclusive, they're putting out really nice content, really good stuff. So if you want to look at how to build, go through their timeline. It's actually quite a decent example.
Nice. All right. Well, what's next for you? What's next for AdChief? Where do you go from here? Because you travel quite a bit, don't you? You travel with the family.
Yeah. Well, technically, I'm homeless, much to the dismay of all the grandparents. But the nature of it is that we decided about 4 years ago to be like digital nomads, laptop lifestyle kind of stuff. Okay. And took our three young children and sold everything, put the rest in storage, and just took off into the blue yonder as a way of kind of experiencing the world and stuff, but it all at the same time providing some sort of form of education. So we're thoroughly enjoying that. But I think I believe the next frontier, and they started today, is Amazon in Australia.
Yes, yes.
So one of the things I've been working on really hard in the background is the ability to marry Amazon with Facebook. And I don't believe anybody else in the world has done this yet.
Okay.
But I have the tech now to create a catalog inside Facebook based on a feed coming out of Amazon. Did I say that the right way? Amazon synchronizes with Facebook's shop,
yes,
basically.
Yeah.
And so the nature of that is pretty cool. So if there's anybody out there that wants to make easy money on the side, it's always easy money. I think Amazon is going to be the next big thing for Australia. They represent 5% of all retail sales in America, so I think they're going to disrupt the Australian market in a big way, and the clever marketer can get in front of that.
And just to reinforce that, when you say 5% of retail sales in America, that's 5% of all retail sales. That's not just online, is it? That's everything.
That's right. Everything.
And yeah, it's something insane. I think it's almost half or something of online sales or something ridiculous like that, isn't it?
Ridiculous. Yeah. Very trusted brand. So if you've got a product, like if you're selling something right now, like my cushion covers client or baby strollers or whatever, seriously think about this, because what Facebook can do in terms of the tech now is, you might have already seen it. So let's say somebody writes a blog post about comparing one baby stroller to another. If you've ever seen like the product tagged at the bottom of the blog post, like a little kind of tile, and you can kind of swipe them left and right, like a little suggested kind of thing. So I can do that now automatically with an Amazon product. So basically, you ship your product to Amazon, create a post, and then Amazon does the rest. Like it's all handled.
Wow.
And there's a lot of merit to that. But there's a little bit of setup that needs to happen in between. So I've created a little system to make that easy. And I think that's going to be the next big thing for EdChief.
So another snippet there that if you want to make fast money, come and speak to Phil. That's the that's the outtake from that bit.
So look,
really appreciate all the advice, everything you've said today. Where can people just before I say where can people find you, I can't stress enough that if you want to do something big on Facebook and you've got budget, then obviously they should come and talk to you. So where's the best place for them to find you or get in contact with you?
Yeah, sure. Adchief.io. There's a little pop-up widget that says "Ask us anything," and that's what I would suggest people do. And that's also an example of a chatbot. It's also an example of Facebook Messenger, and it's an example of what everybody should be doing on their websites, which is to add a human to the process. Now,
what about Twitter or Facebook or obviously Facebook, but you know LinkedIn? Are you happy for them to come and see if they can find you there as well, if they just want to listen to what you've got to say?
I don't do anything on Twitter, I'll be honest. I think that's an area that I've never really gotten into. Does anybody still use Twitter? I don't know. Do you use Twitter?
Yeah, I do actually. I quite enjoy it, but it's kind of this, you know, seedy cesspool of humanity sometimes. So it's it can be, if you follow people in a particular channel, I follow a lot of tech people, marketing people, finance people, that's really interesting, because they're sharing interesting things. You can have direct conversations with them. But outside that, once you get into the whole politics and all that sort of thing, it becomes a less enjoyable place. My thought about Twitter.
I believe you. So for me, I guess I drink my own medicine, just Facebook, that's it.
Yeah, awesome. Mate, thank you very much. I think there's been, I think if people haven't found something interesting out of that, out of those last 45 minutes, then, they've probably not been listening properly. So I would stress to everybody out there once again that if you need help or you want to, ask some advice, or you want Phil to get engaged with your business and help you with your Facebook ads, then please get in contact with him. If for some reason you've forgotten everything he's just said and can't remember how to get in contact with him, email me, I'll do an introduction, and so on. So the final thing is just to say thank you very much. Enjoy the rainforest and whatever that is now that's making the noise in the background. And thank you very much for your time today, Phil.
No worries.
That's pretty much it for this week. Hope you got a lot out of Phil's interview. There's some fascinating points there that I think you can apply to your business if you want to go out and do Facebook ads. If you want to get in contact with me, simon@simondell.com. Final thing, please, please rate and review us on iTunes. Otherwise, we will see you guys same place, same time next week.